Here's what the 757 was. It was a miracle of compromise, a narrow-body fuselage stretched to carry 180, sometimes 200 passengers, powered by engines borrowed from the big jets. Boeing built just over 1,000 of them between 1982 and 2004, and they did something no other narrow-body had managed. They made thin-route, long-haul flying economically viable. New York to Shannon, Philadelphia to London Gatwick. Routes that couldn't fill a 747 but still needed the range. I'm Tower, this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about the aircraft that's taken over that mission and why the experience in the front of the cabin has changed dramatically. Today's coverage is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. United Airlines has been operating the Boeing 757 for decades. It was never a glamorous airplane. Great airplane, functional, capable, long-legged. But the cabin was a product of its era. You got a 6 abreast economy section and, depending on which variant United was flying, a business class section that started out as recliners and evolved over the years into something approaching a real premium product. The issue with the 757 on long routes was always the cabin. That fuselage is narrow. You're looking at a 2x2 business class layout at best, which meant no lie-flat bed unless you were in an aisle seat. No direct aisle access for window passengers. On a red-eye from Denver to London, that matters now, enter the A321 XLR. The XLR stands for extra long range. Airbus took the A321neo, already one of the most successful narrow-body programs in history, and added a new rear center fuel tank. Not a removable tank, not an auxiliary bladder, but a structurally integrated tank that's part of the aircraft. That's a bigger engineering accomplishment than it sounds. Airbus had to redesign the rear fuselage to make it work, get it certified, and demonstrate to regulators that it could safely operate over water on extended twin-engine operations, what we call ETOPS. The A321 XLR is certified for ETOPS 180. That means it can fly routes where it's up to 180 minutes from a diversion airport at single-engine cruise speed. Over the North Atlantic, that opens up a significant portion of the crossing. The range on the XLR is approximately 5,400 nautical miles. That's enough to connect the U.S. East Coast to Western Europe. The 757 was always the benchmark for this mission, around 3,800 nautical miles. And the XLR clears that bar comfortably. But here's the part that really tells the story. And it's the part that matters from a commercial strategy standpoint. United's A321 XLR carries approximately 20 Polaris business class seats and 22 premium plus seats. On the 757, it replaces, United typically flew around 16 Polaris seats and no dedicated premium plus section at all. The Economy Plus product existed, but Premium Plus as a distinct cabin with its own seat product and service was a wide-body only offering, so you go from 16 Polaris seats and 0 Premium Plus to 20 Polaris seats and 22 Premium Plus. If you count total premium price seats, Polaris Plus, Premium Plus, you're going from roughly 16 to 42. That's where the headline comes from. It's actually more than double. Why does this matter? It matters because it changes the economics of thin-route international flying airlines, make their money in the front of the plane. That's not a secret. A single Polaris seat generates several times the revenue per seat mile of an economy ticket. When you're flying a narrow-body aircraft on a transatlantic route, you're already accepting lower overall capacity than a wide-body. But if you can fill a premium cabin that's significantly larger than the aircraft you replaced, and fill it reliably, the math works in your favor. United's strategy here is straightforward. They want to open up transatlantic routes that can't support a 767 or 787, but can support a narrowbody. Think secondary markets, cities where demand is real but not deep enough to justify a two-aisle airplane. The A321 XLR lets them plant a flag in those markets with a genuine premium product. Now let's talk about what Polaris actually looks like on the A321 XLR, because this is where the narrowbody constraint gets interesting. Polaris on a widebody, the 787, the 767, the 777, is a lie-flat seat in a 222 or 121 configuration. You get a door, you get a mattress pad. Direct aisle access? It's a genuine business class product with room to breathe. Polaris on the A321 XLR is a different challenge. The fuselage is single aisle, you're working with a cabin width of roughly 12 feet. United has configured the forward section in a one-on-one staggered layout. Alternating seats are offset forward and backward, giving each passenger direct aisle access without climbing over a seatmate. You get a lie-flat seat, you get Polaris branded service with the meal service, amenity kit, the bedding. What you don't get is the same square footage as a wide-body Polaris. The seat is narrower. The suite walls, if they exist at all, are abbreviated. You're in a narrow body, and the fuselage reminds you of that. This is a compromise that United is betting passengers will accept, and the evidence from other carriers suggests that bet is reasonable. Other airlines operating similar layouts on long-haul narrow bodies have found a market. United is landing somewhere in the middle. Polaris on the XLR is a meaningfully better product than what was on the 757 and probably a step below what you'd get on a 787. Whether that's acceptable on a 7-hour transatlantic flight is a conversation the market will have with United's revenue management team over the next few years. Premium Plus is a slightly different story. This is United's premium economy product, a category that barely existed 15 years ago and now seems indispensable to airline strategy. Wider seat than economy, more recline, dedicated service, a meal that actually resembles food, extra baggage. On the A321XLR, United can offer 22 of these seats on routes where previously there was no premium economy cabin at all. For passengers on those thinner transatlantic routes, say a secondary US city to a secondary European city, the option to buy a premium economy seat at a price point below full Polaris is genuinely new. That's a revenue stream that simply didn't exist before. There's a Boeing angle to this story worth acknowledging. The 757 went out of production in 2004. Boeing has not produced a direct replacement. The closest thing they've offered has been the 737 MAX, specifically the MAX 10, which has similar capacity to the 757-200 in terms of seat count, but significantly less range. The MAX 10 doesn't do transatlantic. It's not even close. Boeing studied and shelved multiple replacement programs over the years, what some in the industry called the new small airplane, or a middle-of-the-market aircraft. None of them materialized into hardware. Meanwhile, Airbus brought the A321XLR to market, got it certified, and is delivering it to customers. Every XLR that enters service on a route previously served by a Boeing narrowbody is, in a very concrete way, an order that didn't go to Seattle. From a flight operations perspective, the XLR brings some considerations worth noting. The rear center fuel tank that gives the XLR its range affects weight and balance loading. The tank fuels and burns on a sequence that's managed automatically, but the resulting center of gravity envelope is different from the standard A321neo. Airlines and flight crews have adapted their procedures accordingly. ETOPS operations over the North Atlantic bring additional crew rest requirements, alternate airport planning, and dispatch considerations. Flying this aircraft on a transatlantic route is not the same as flying it on a domestic hop. The aircraft is the same, but the operational package around it is substantially more complex. The XLR is fly-by-wire like all Airbus products in this family. It uses the same cockpit philosophy as the A320neo, which means airlines can use the same type rating for pilots already qualified on the A320 family with additional route training. That cross-qualification capability is one of the reasons the A320 family has been so commercially successful. Airlines get operational flexibility, and pilots build currency across a wide range of aircraft on the same certificate. That last ETOPS point is sometimes where the conversation gets honest. When a twin-engine widebody like the 787 loses an engine over the North Atlantic, it's a serious event, but it's a contingency the aircraft was designed for. When a single-aisle airplane operating ETOPS 180 encounters the same situation, it's also manageable. But descending through flight level 350 over open ocean in an airplane the size of a domestic shuttle with 200 people on board is a psychological and operational reality that pilots, dispatchers, and the traveling public deserve to understand. There are no new safety concerns specific to the A321XLR that the aviation community hasn't worked through. The aircraft has met certification standards. The regulators have reviewed the data. But extended ETOPS operations in a narrow body represent a different risk profile than wide body operations. And honest conversation about that is part of how we keep aviation trustworthy. None of that changes the fundamental picture, which is that the XLR is in service, it's working, and United is using it to reshape how they approach the North Atlantic. For those of us who fly general aviation, the direct operational connection here is thin. But the broader story reflects where the industry is heading: efficiency, premium revenue concentrated where it generates the most return, point-to-point routes bypassing the hub, narrow-body aircraft doing work that once required wide-bodies. The 757's retirement has been gradual, airlines parking them, converting them to freighters, selling them off one by one. United still operates some, but the fleet is aging. The A321XLR is the clearest answer the industry has produced to the question of what fills that niche, and based on the cabin, United is deploying 20 Polaris seats, 22 Premium Plus, a genuine international premium product on a single-aisle airframe. It looks like they're taking that mission seriously. Whether passengers agree will be determined one transatlantic booking at a time. Thanks to Simple Flying for the reporting. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Clear skies.